What a great big day on the podcast we have here, Ira. Your podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Get your car shopping search started at edmorsecadillactampa.com and edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. The new May offers are, may even be out by the time this podcast pops on Tuesday morning, but you want to check the website. Of course, 70 years of Ed Morse, fantastic local company. Brandon, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, that's your only luxury dealership in Brandon. And Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, that's where I bought my last two vehicles, not even Cadillacs, fantastic pre-owned vehicles. EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. You can find Ed Morse Cadillac just west of I-275 on Fletcher, and we'll talk more about them later. Of course, Ira's here in his Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon gear. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, buddy. I was talking to Rock Riley last week, and he went to a little event over at Ed Morse last week, and a little party for some of their premier customers, and Rock was invited. And he, when I saw him later that night, he had just come from the party, and he said they put out a heck of a spread. It was great people to talk to. I think it was the first time he had met the Ed Morse people. And he was very impressed. They treated him well. So, you know, we welcome Rock to the family. Welcome him with me at Ed Morse. There's a lot to like there.
Absolutely. And, of course, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper's with us. The full crew is here from JoeBucksFan. Rock. Yeah, Rock was actually at Alfa Romeo. Their Brandon Alfa Romeo dealership where they rolled out a brand new vehicle. And Ed Morse does everything right, whether it's an oil change or a party, a fantastic happy hour cocktail, whatever it may be, they do it right. All right, Ira, you know, this is exciting times with the draft. I mean, Bucks fans are out of their freaking mind. It's you know, they're just psychotic. They're happy. Some are pissed, of course. You can't please everybody. We did a poll on JoeBucksFan.com. 50% of the fans, 49.8 or whatever, give Jason Light a B. And I wonder what that would be, that grade would be, if they drafted Dalvin Cook, who they passed on. They clearly, obviously, didn't want him. He was there. They said no thanks. They didn't really apparently try to trade up to go get him after that, that we can tell with any sort of certainty. And the whole league passed on him. What's your take on that?
Well, gentlemen, I don't want to get a big head over here, but I do want to point out, Lee,
too late,
that for our readers, and by the way, we're growing every week exponentially, and I'll let Steve talk about
that.
Well,
thanks to you as well.
Thank you. But Lee, the ones that read Joe Bucks Fan and the ones that listen to our podcast cannot be surprised that the Bucks passed on Dalvin Cook, because we had been telling them for weeks that that's exactly what the Bucks were going to do, that they weren't going to take Dalvin Cook. Lee, am I wrong?
Well, you were strongly hinting that in your columns. And I was one of the people that ignored it.
and the Bucks were not.
It shows you how dumb
team.
I was.
Lee, the Bucks were not the only team that needed a running back. Mm-hmm. You know, beyond Carolina and Jacksonville, who were already scooped up their guys at number 4 and number 8. But there were other teams. Some people thought the Redskins, mm-hmm. the Eagles, mm-hmm. were going to take Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. So there was a bit of a consensus that Dalvin Cook wasn't a first-round talent. Now, Lee, you and I saw the kid play. We saw the films. He's very impressive. He played big in big games. And I don't necessarily believe that it's concerns about the pack that Dalvin Cook runs with or whatever.
That's overblown.
He's got some fumble issues, mm-hmm. which I think for the Bucks in particular, and Cutter, you know about Cutter and turnovers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on Jameis Winston's butt about it, as he should be.
Yes, yes.
And so maybe that's a red flag that Cutter, you know, wasn't ready to speed past. But the fact is, they loved O.J. Howard. They weren't going to pass on him. And you know what, Lee? By the end of that night at the party, Thursday night, of which there was an incredible turnout.
So I understand.
You should have been there, baby. You should have been there. But when I walked in, Lee, a lot of Buck fans came up to me, and they were saying, Dalvin Cook, Dalvin Cook. You know, if he's there at 19, Dalvin Cook. And I was saying, well, if there's other guys there at 19, they're going to take him. And that guy was O.J. Howard. And as the draft developed, Lee got to pick 14, 15, 16, and with Pawlowski, the commission, leading the chance, all of a sudden, you know, about 15 minutes before the Bucks made the pick, the chance for O.J. Howard
is that right?
went up. And you know what? I saw even some of the Dalvin Cook disciples.
They were one over?
They were chanting O.J. Howard, too, because they realized, you know, you can't pass up an O.J. Howard.
Well, I, you know, I'm a human, and I really screwed up. I of all people to ignore was your column.
You ignored me, Mr. DeKemper, at your own peril.
Yep, at my own peril. And I still have this mental block. I still have this mental block, and I got to sit down with some people with the Bucks and like, okay, I don't understand this. So you help me out here because I want to understand this. I can't get past the Bucks already have a tight end that led the league in touchdowns. Howard is an incredible talent. Don't anybody take anything wrong. I'm not saying this was a bad pick, but when I essentially, here's an analogy I use. If you're Bill Giles with the Phillies in the early 80s and you're looking to upgrade the batting average of your team, do you go out and get George Brett? You've already got Mike Schmidt. And as much as Howard may be fantastic, nobody, including Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, know what he's going to do on an NFL field. We already know what Brett's going to do. So that's why that and the fact that O.G. Howard, who expected him to be there at 19? Nobody, including Light and Cutter. So that's why, I ignored it, and B, I just didn't put two and two together.
Steve, I give Light credit for not making a need pick and for making a best player on the board pick. I think O.J. Howard was in the top three on the Buck draft board of all players. Do you disagree with that?
I don't disagree with that. I think they just felt, like Light said, a pipe dream that he would actually show up there at 19. One of the things I wrote on JoeBucksFan.com earlier, before the draft, I think it was Monday before the draft, Howard himself was on the Rich Eisen show, a radio show that not many people listen to. And, well, reality is reality. He's on the Rich Eisen show, and they asked Howard, you know, they know his elite talent level. Howard said on the radio show, and as you guys saw, he's a great speaker, polished, mm-hmm. and very relaxed. And, of course, Rich Eisen makes everybody relaxed. Howard said his intelligence was that he was going between 10 and 20. And that struck me because a lot of people thought of him as a seven overall, six overall, mm-hmm. eight overall, nine overall. So I thought maybe there'd be a chance. And then as the draft evolved, it looked like he might get pushed down. But still, it was a dream scenario for the Bucks. I wanted to address Lee's point, which I think I get the whole Brate thing. But I think it just comes down to snap counts. Last year, the number one tight end on the Bucks for snap counts, guy on the field the most, was Luke Stocker. So if you look at it that way, O.J. Howard replaces Luke Stocker, and one hell of an upgrade that is. Yeah. Where you had Stocker the blocker, you know, catching seven balls a year, and now Howard can perform that role, yet, you know, scare the hell out of defensive coordinators, and it doesn't have to take any snaps away from Brate. But where Lee's point makes a lot of sense is there's only one football, and this should cut Brate's targets. And is that a good thing when you have a rookie who hasn't proven himself? And Brate is obviously an emerging guy who's excellent in the red zone. I don't know. But he's better than Stocker.
Sure.
And when the Bucks have the ball on the 18-yard line next year and they can put out Howard and Brate and DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans with Charles Sims in the backfield as a guy who's dangerous in the red zone, man, how do you cover that? You don't.
Good
luck. Lee, two quick points. One, Cutter is on record saying, and it's a heck of a quote, I love tight ends. He did say that.
Yeah.
And now he's got two really good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a theory out there that with the two tight end sets of guys of that caliber, mm-hmm. you can kind of dictate coverage. And when you can dictate mm-hmm. coverage, that puts you clearly a step ahead of the defense. Mm-hmm. Number two, guys, we got to admit what's right in front of us. And that is
cheerleaders.
The Bucks looked at their offensive backfield. Mm-hmm. That averaged a collective 3.6 yards per carry last year. And decided, hey, we're not really in trouble here. This is not a priority. Otherwise, Steve, you don't wait till pick 162 to take a running back and you expect, you know, Jeremy McNichols to tear up the league. If he was that good, you would have took him at 50. Mm-hmm. So, Lee, they don't look at the offensive line like some Buck fans do. They don't look at the pass rush like I do mm-hmm. and say, you better get some help. And obviously, and third corner maybe, you can't do everything at once, I understand. But running back was a glaring need.
Yeah.
And they didn't address it until round five.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of, and all three of us know how behind the scenes the Bucks are very, very aggressive in defending the offensive line. They think the offensive line is much maligned. I mean, they're very, very sensitive about that. Not quite as sensitive as Adam Humphrey's criticism, but they're very sensitive about that. Well, we all saw how terrible the running game was. So if the offensive line is not the problem, and I tend to agree with them, specifically in the case of Donovan Smith, then the running game has to be garbage. The only thing I can think of, and to your point, well, if the running game's so garbage, why did they wait so long? The only thing I could think of was something that Cutter had said in Indianapolis when we had local Tampa Bay reporters had a private sit down with Cutter on the record, but it was a private sit down. And he basically said he went through a certain cut up of whatever player, it was a cut up. And he said of the 30 snaps, they had four different ball carriers. And he said, right there's your problem. It wasn't that they had lack of talent. It was inconsistency in running style.
Well, I got a feeling they're going to be running back by committee again in 2017. Steve, where am I wrong?
Well, look, you know, a lot of fans don't like this. They're clinging to Doug Martin love. They're clinging to false hope on Doug Martin staying here. They're hanging on Jason Light's every word of, oh, we love Doug playing, running around in OTAs. He looks great. Come on,
in a
man.
Sandbox.
Sandbox. Guy's running in a sandbox.
He's running in a sandbox.
He's doing jump rope with conditioning trainers. Nothing. This is not football. It's not even underwear football. It's hopscotch.
You can go to any gym in the area, and they're doing the same thing.
Steve, let me say this. Fans have to understand that the Bucs are saying what they should be saying about Doug Martin.
Well, I get it. They're going a little over the top. That's fine. The point is, I believe wholeheartedly, and we saw it last year, we witnessed it, this running game is better by default without Doug Martin. He was the drag on the running game. He was the guy with no explosive runs. He was the guy who got caught for a safety because he just froze and didn't run into the hole.
Didn't have a 20-yard run.
Against the Saints.
He drugged the dumb because they were banking on him so much and they weren't getting production?
They got nothing out of him. He led the team in carries. They got nothing. And they kept going to him. Dirk Cutter himself benched him in the biggest game of the year. He wasn't even suspended. He was healthy. He was even getting healthier.
Put the playoffs on the line.
So they know, I believe, they know the running game is better by default without Doug Martin. Just that simple. A lot of people don't like it. Screw them.
Well, I know I had
and
someone.
Just the last point on the O-line is, look, they fired the center. They fired Joe Hawley. They identified him as the weak link. They fired him. They told him, hey, come on back. You're a backup. You got to try to make the team. They're moving Marpet. And I think we all know that if Marpet doesn't work out, I don't think Hawley's going to be the guy back in there. I think it'll be Evan Smith or maybe even Pamfield.
Here's one for you about Martin real quick. I had someone Friday, you know, a Doug Martin defender, like, well, 2 years ago he was in the Pro Bowl. I'm like, well, 2 years ago, wasn't Darrell Revis in the Pro Bowl? Wasn't Adrian Peterson in the Pro Bowl? Now those guys, they could barely get work. Obviously, Peterson gets signed. That's number one. But number two, rather than just cherry pick a season 2 years ago, why don't we look at the last 4 years of Doug Martin? Not good. 1 year out of the last four. And he's got drug problem. Well, allegedly, we don't know if he's over now. I got to be fair. But three out of the last 4 years, and he's got drug suspension on top of that.
Unable to play the first 3 weeks. Can't help you.
Yeah, you can't help.
You can't take a snap. Now, according to Steve, that's a plus.
Now,
let me make this comment about the old line, Steve. I'm going to bring up an old word that you and I have bandied about on this podcast for many times.
Is it the I word?
Investiture, my friend.
Oh, that's the I word.
And here's what I mean on the offensive line. You've got three draft picks in Marpet, Smith, and Pamfield.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a high-priced free agent in Sweezy. So that's investiture. They find a way to get Sweezy on the field. You know, they're not going anywhere with Pamfield. Did an adequate job, I think, at left guard last year. I think they're thin at tackle. You guys ended up being right. They did not draft an offensive lineman. I thought they would draft a tackle. In round five, round six, I think they ran out of draft picks, Lee. They didn't have a lot of picks.
No.
They didn't draft the third corner, Lee.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do everything. But when I look at this offensive line, Steve, I would say adequate. Adequate. And, you know, I'm saying this, and this might be a little harsh for Buck fans, but I'll say it.
Uh-oh.
You know, and I haven't even had a couple of drinks at Legend Sports Bar.
A couple?
Steve?
You must have had six, Ira.
After 9-7 season, going into 2017, I don't think adequate's good enough, Lee. It's not good enough.
Fans are expecting playoffs, and I would not be surprised if the G's are thinking playoffs.
The G's. That cracks me up every time.
You know, they got all the shiny weapons, Steve. All the shiny weapons. But the guys have to do the work in the trenches to make it happen.
Sure.
And you got to have offensive balance, and I think those are two issues.
And I'm not concerned about the offensive line. Only in this sense.
What are you, Pamfield's agent?
No.
You're not concerned.
I'm not concerned to the point where I'm going to freak out in April. You know, I think that the Marpet thing is an experiment, but if it doesn't work, they can fix that. Sweezy will. I don't really even count on Sweezy in my head yet. But I want to dive deeper into the running back choice. You mentioned Jeremy McNichols out of Boise State, And I want to talk about the running back picture. I think it's very important, not just the not selection of Dalvin Cook, but what the Bucs didn't do and didn't do as they got to McNichols. But first, Ira, very important for us to mention, because a lot of your listeners really have no clue what went down on Thursday night. I'm going to sum it up, and I'll say this. I know that we joke that you're 87 years old, you're 79 years old, you've been covering the NFL since 1943, all that kind of stuff. Now, of course, that's not true. You're a much younger man than that, but you're a mature man with a distinguished career.
Mature, I like that, Lee.
And the Bucks Uncensored draft party in Clearwater the other night, you were invited out there. Bucks Uncensored, that's the podcast, Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday on Joe Bucks Fan by the commish, Justin Pawlowski. Longtime voice of the Buccaneers radio network for several years. You've heard him on local sports radio. We knew that this, when Joe Bucks Fan has a party with a lot of time to prepare, a lot of people come out when it's the right situation. And draft party's always been big. Did it very big last year, over 100 people at a place. And the place we had it last year, they opened the day of the party. So there was like people didn't even know the name, and it was still got the crowd out there big time. But Justin's event had about 300 people. Several people came in and left because they knew they weren't going to get a seat. And I don't blame a lot of people, like, hey, well, I'm not going to stand for 3 hours, and they go somewhere else. I get it. But you were there. And is it fair for me to say that you have not experienced a party like that since your college days?
I was absolutely blown away. Lee, you should have been there. Instead, you're at One Buck Place with Stroud and Cummings and Jenna Lane and all your buddies over there and Trevor, you know, and you're lucky if you had a cup of coffee and a slice of pizza over there.
Yep. I don't know how many buddies I got there, but okay.
Absolutely blown away, Steve. You told me it was going to be a big turnout. You told me that. What you didn't tell me was
raucous.
300, 400 Buck fans. There's dogs walking around. There's a barber shaving in Buck haircuts.
Yeah, there were dogs.
They had dogs with Buck ear.
Lee, I never reached into my pocket. I drank. Good. I ate. Buck fans are buying me drinks. There's chants going on all over the place.
Irv,
people are
Irv,
coming
Ira,
up.
Ira.
You know, the name of the place was Legends. Mm-hmm. Great place. Great people. Great
location.
Yeah, great location. Steve, back me up on this. They're calling me a legend. Now, you know, that's heady company. I understand that. I don't deserve that, but it's nice to hear. Lee, people are posing for pictures. I could have charged for autographs. I could have pocketed $100, which would have been $100 more than Joe Bucks Fan paid me to show up. But I'll tell you what, I got absolutely no regrets on going. I had a ball.
Great.
And you know what? When O.J. Howard was picked, I had a lot of people come up to me. Steve had already left because he had to start writing, and you were already at $1. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people came up to me, Steve, after the Howard pick and said, you're unbelievable. You're intel. You were telling us all night, O.J. Howard, don't get your hopes up about Cook. It might be Howard. And they go, you're amazing. How did you have that? And all I can say is the three of us, you know, we've got our people. Mm-hmm. We don't make this stuff out of the air, mm-hmm. Lee.
That's irresponsible.
And you know what? We rest on our track record. Steve, and I think the last month, we've been kind of right on this thing.
Ira, seriously, I believe if you had tried, you probably could have taken donations and gotten at least $1,500 there. You could have been elected mayor of Clearwater.
Baby needs a new pair of shoes, Lee. Come on. Huh?
I mean, if you got $10 per selfie taken with you, it would have been outstanding.
Lee, people are coming from out of state.
Out of the country, yeah.
Javier from Panama, he's telling me all about the beaches of Panama. I go, how's the crime? He goes, it depends where you go.
Sounds like Chicago.
He brought cigars in. He goes, Ira, do you smoke cigars? I said, no, but I'll take them anyway. you know, Steve, it was one heck of a night. And you know what? Pawlowski did a great job, too. He did.
It was just as rowdy as it could have been. That level of sustained rowdiness is really not something I've seen. It was, I don't even know what to say. I just don't even know what to say.
Lee, you got to come out next year. I think it's going to be even bigger.
Well, I do know that the next day, Saturday, and Pawlowski had invited me, you know, weeks ago. He's like, hey, I understand you can't come out Thursday night. You're going to be at $1. Can you come to have lunch with us at Bricado's? And I'm like, sure. And I was under the gun with the clock because, you know, they're bringing Howard in. Right. But I did show up there. There was, I guess about 2 to 3 dozen of the stick carriers that they like to call themselves that were there. And I spoke to them briefly, and I thanked them for the support. And for the listeners of this podcast, I also want to thank you guys. I saw our traffic numbers. Incredible. And I just It sincerely touches me that, you know, we have so many loyal and supportive readers and listeners. I appreciate that, and I know Steve doesn't know you do, Ira, and I just want to make sure that we appreciate your support, your readership, your stick carrying ways, and by all means, make sure you get Ira some more shots next year.
You know, Steve, along those lines, and I think you guys will back me up on this. It is mind-boggling to me in this profession, and I've been doing it for 40 years, not 80, 40. It's mind-boggling to me, Lee, and you've seen it. You know I'm not exaggerating. Let's use training camp as an example. Here it is, August 3rd. Buck fans lined up, you know, in the stands. And so many of our brethren in this industry, the last thing they would ever think about would be talking to a fan. They're not interested. It's below them.
Without
and
them,
I
you
come
got
out,
nothing.
And when I, you know, working for the Tribune these last 15 years doing the Bucks for the Tribune, the first day of training camp, that was always a staple of mine, is get the pulse of the fan, what their expectations are for the upcoming season. These are your readers. These are our listeners. These are our readers. What you know, is how could it be beneath you to talk to your customers, Steve? I still can't understand.
Without them, you're selling insurance for a living. Maybe. Or you're working Publix. I don't know.
Talked to a lot of great fans, met a lot of great fans at the party. Really appreciate all the love. But one guy comes up to me. He's like, yeah, you know, he introduces himself. He says, hey, you know, yeah, I'm always yelling at you at training camp. You know, you walk up and down because I don't sit in the stands. I usually walk up and down, take pictures and check stuff out. I'm a can't sit
still. Checking out cheerleaders.
I'm a can't sit still kind of guy anyway. And the guy says to me, he's like, yeah, I yell at you all the time. I said, no, I there's always usually somebody yells, Joe, or a couple of Joes. He's like, yeah, all you ever do is turn away. And I said, well, what else am I going to do, you know? But, no, it was pretty cool.
The
vibes were awesome that night.
The fans are great. It's about the fans, and you can't lose sight of that. It's all about people drinking beer, having a good time. Sports is entertainment. If you can't have a fun with this and you're going to get all serious, then you really don't understand it.
And, Lee, you see the faces behind – you know, the names on the comments.
Yeah, that's
the Port
cool.
Richie Lou's over there. And,
you met Port Richie.
Yeah,
didn't.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and they're just out to have fun. And then they care about the Bucks.
Passionately.
Yeah. Absolutely.
A couple of things on that front before we get back to the running backs. First, opening day against Miami. We're going to have a huge opening day party at Abe's place. And, oh, boy. It's going to be very interesting. A lot of cool stuff going on with that. The details
even
will
the birds
out.
Are happy.
Yeah, the birds are happy.
Is that a 1 o'clock game, Steven?
1 o'clock game. Probably going to start the festivities inside and outside at Abe's at 11:30. It's going to be a heck of an opening day. Abe's is going to do some real cool stuff. There's going to be some incentives to get there early so you can park yourself, spend the whole day, the night, everything. And Abe's has a great football crowd anyway, but it's going to be real Bucks heavy this year. Going to be doing a lot of cool stuff there. Number two, as Lee mentioned, traffic. Unbelievable. April traffic versus last April. We're up 23% in total visits to the website.
That is a huge jump, Stephen.
Page views also up about 18%. So pretty stunning, the growth. And, you know, there are a lot of factors to that, but it really comes down to we appreciate that people enjoy our brand of covering the Bucks. And here it is Monday. We're talking on a Monday. We got Justin's podcast up, Ira, your excellent new column, which we're going to hit
Riley.
On. Rock Riley's report at noon. Lee's got three stories up. I've got two. This is why fans understand that we're passionate about this, because we could sleep late. We're not going to make
this. This is May, right? This is May.
This is May.
Going
I was up. When is Dan Lucas' show? That 2 o'clock in the morning. I was up, you know, getting some nuggets.
You have
that.
My sympathies, Mr. DeCamper.
Lucas needs a side. Not nothing. I love Paul Ryan, but he needs a female sidekick.
How are our podcasts doing, Mr. Isbitz?
Ira, nothing's changed, man. They continue to grow. Like I said, if this was a radio show, it would have a solid rating.
Can I drop a little nugget real quick? You know, you were talking about, you know, tips for Abe's, and this is for the fans, because fans go crazy about this indoor practice facility the Bucks have. Well, I've learned that maybe this week, maybe I do know the Bucks are meeting with the city of Tampa probably today to finalize all the zoning and dot all the I's and cross all the T's. And provided that takes place, don't be surprised if there's an announcement this week with some specifics on the indoor practice facility, specifically when ground will be broken, the seating capacity of the place, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not saying it will happen this week, but there's a good chance. Well, I won't even say good chance. There is a chance that this week there will be more specifics announced by the Bucks about the indoor practice facility.
Ira, your podcast presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, 70 years of Ed Morse, 70 plus years of Ed Morse serving the community and car buyers. And I mean that wholeheartedly. Ed Morse delivers tremendous support within various community charities and programs and efforts across the state of Florida. And we have the two great Ed Morse Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County, the only Cadillac dealerships in Hillsborough County, EdMorseCadillacTampa.com and EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. Now, running back, Ira, running back, no Dalvin Cook, who went with the 41st overall pick to the Vikings. Now, we knew entering this draft that the Bucs were going to draft a running back. That was a tremendous no-brainer. They had to walk out of this thing with somebody.
I thought it was going to happen in the first 2 days, and it didn't.
They had to. They also had to walk out with a receiver, which they got. We'll touch on Mr. Godwin later. But at running back, Ira, the 17th running back off the board was Mr. McNichols. Now, that's a lot of running backs. He was the third running back out of the Mountain West.
Good okay? research, Stephen.
Third
Good
running
research.
Back out of the Mountain West. Now, the guy, tremendous talent, 53 touchdowns over
Very
the last
productive.
Couple of years. Very productive, 53 TDs. I learned today that not only did Doug Martin meet him in the spring, he had been in touch with Doug Martin in the before the Bucks picked him, like talking to him and texting him and stuff. And so they had built a relationship. Of course, I'm sure Martin never thought he'd land in Tampa, but he had built a relationship. The kid also has ties. I forget the name, but there's a scouting assistant with the Bucks who is a former teammate of Doug Martin at Boise. And that scouting assistant also was the director of recruiting at Boise. Mm-hmm. And so McNichols has all these ties to the Bucks, in addition to Cutter, who coached at Boise State, still has ex-players of his who coached there. A lot of deep connections.
Intel.
And McNichols said that we'll probably be able to explore this more, but he said he has a relationship and knows DeSean Jackson pretty well, which is kind of odd. They're both from Southern California. Must be something there. But the kid's got a lot of ties to the Bucks for somebody who's from the West Coast and played in the Mountain West. The Bucks claim that McNichols, which was much higher on their board, Jason Light said that, much higher on their board than where they thought. So what do you make of this kid? Do you think that he is a potential starter, that the Bucks maybe had him as their 12th running back out there? And why didn't the Bucks trade up to get somebody else?
That's the million-dollar question. Lee, I keep going back to the same thing. They had no idea that he'd be there at 162. If you absolutely fall in love with this kid, you're in love with the kid. That, you know, you move up in the third round, you lose your fourth round, but then you could get back in the fourth round if you want to. You know, and instead it's the idea of, well, we'll wait till the fifth round. He could be there for 162. He's there, so you take him. But, Lee, you know, you got to go back to the time of the draft. There's no guarantee that the kid's going to be there. So
sure.
That tells me the degree, you know, of love there was for McNichols. But when he's there, you take him. But as Steve mentioned, 16 running backs go by the board before this guy's taken. I don't think you count on a fifth rounder to make an impact. I just don't.
No, you can't. That's foolishness. It's not just irresponsible. It's foolishness. I look up the you know, Jason. You know I love Jason Light. When he goes up there, oh, he was so high up on our board. Maybe this is an improper analogy. I look upon that with a jaundiced eye. They want to make the guy feel good. They want him to feel wanted. We want you. Yeah, we picked you in the fifth round, but we thought you were a third round pick.
The guy you can make that argument with is Beckwith. That's the guy you make the argument that he was higher on the board and we went up and got him.
Well, and
they
he also
didn't
slipped
do that
because
with
of a bum
knee.
Yeah.
He didn't do that.
Now, exactly. You're referencing, for those unaware, that's linebacker Kendall Beckwith out of LSU. He's the guy the Bucks traded up into the last pick of the third round, first year that you could trade compensatory picks. So the Bucks actually went up, traded with the Jets to grab this guy. And you're saying, hey, they could have traded up to grab a running back. Could have been Marlon Mack that they drafted there.
Who they allegedly loved.
Or Samaje Perine, a guy that they looked at very closely for a lot and was pretty highly regarded, who went five or six picks later to the Redskins, who needed a running back. So you have to wonder, how much did they really want him back, or were they just playing poker? I mean, the draft is so much poker, you don't even know. You got to hope and pray that a guy falls to you.
What is the great irony of this whole thing with Doug Martin and McNichols? If McNichols looks good in training camp, that could be that could help usher Doug Martin out the door.
Here's a quick one about
that's the guy. Yeah. One Boise State guy knocks another guy out.
Well, here's a quick one about McNichols. The Bucks keep It's only been a couple of days, but they've referenced several times that he's such a good pass protection guy, such good blocker. Now, mind you, that's the main reason that's holding Peyton Barber back. They behind the scenes, we all know this. They talk big time about Peyton Barber, but there's a huge but, big but with Peyton Barber, and that but is he can't block.
Steve, I got a question for you. As we stand here right now at the beginning of May, which back will get the bulk of the carries for the 2017 Bucks? From what I'm reading between the lines of Steve Isbitz, it's either going to be Rodgers or Barber. I believe that's the way you're thinking right now, unless you think they're counting on McNichols.
Don't tell me what I'm thinking. I typically, you expect running backs and receivers to be able to contribute right away. Those are positions that contribute as rookies all the time in the NFL. And I believe that they think McNichols has what it takes to start. Because, frankly, I don't think they would have drafted him if they looked at him as, oh, he's a future backup running back. Why the hell would you waste a pick? They don't need a backup running back. They need a guy who can start, and I think he'll get every opportunity. This is the same Dirk Cutter who seemed to have no problem playing rookies and putting him into big roles. Look at what they did on offensive line with Marpet and Smith. Okay, throw him into the wolves with Jameis. There you go.
They're not fifth rounders, my friend.
I understand. Look at what they did with his obsession with Dante Dye and Humphreys and other guys who they just threw in there. He likes veterans, but Cutter says all the time, you got to give these guys a shot. I think the point is, I think McNichols will get his shot. If he's not up to it, then it's Jaquizz Rodgers, because I really don't think Martin's here. I just think that's just so silly. I don't even know what to say.
Can I a quick point about Rodgers and the offensive line? Please. I thought of this the other day, and I just struck my mind again just now. You know, Rodgers, you know, a lot of people love to pile on the offensive line because those numbers geeks, half of them are in Ireland, that watch TV tape. They think they could judge offensive line, not having any clue what the line assignments are. It's a joke. At any rate, people, you know, like to bang on the offensive line a lot. But let's think about this. Rodgers couldn't even make one of the worst teams in the NFL. The Bears cut him. Obviously, the Bears were horrible. The reason why they were picking third in the draft and traded up for a quarterback. At any rate, there's a reason why the Bears were horrible, and he couldn't make their team. Yet he came to the Bucks and he did okay. I think that pat the back on the offensive line. I honestly think about it.
Let me throw this out there, gentlemen.
It's fair. I mean, you don't know what was going on with the Bears, but that's a fair point.
May I make an observation?
I'm going to spit out one thing because it ties to Lee. And, hey, McNichols drafted in the fifth round. The Bears had the second leading rusher in the NFL last year, fifth round Justin Howard. So they obviously made the right call, and he's a war horse.
So it happens all the time. May I throw this out
Mr. Kemper?
Is there a chance, maybe a good one, that despite all the pleas for offensive balance and you got to have the play action, is there a chance, gentlemen, as their base offense, the Bucks go four wide, play one back, and throw the ball 40 to 45 times a game?
I thought
Lee,
of that this
that
morning.
Is that crazy?
I thought of that this morning. I really did, because, you know, we're talking about the running backs, and, you know, a person who can't read an eye chart could see the Bucks stunk at the running game last year. And the Bucks are quick to defend the offensive line, so that leads me to believe that the running backs are the issue, okay? I mean, that's just logical conclusion.
Can they go Drew Brees and throw 40, 45 times
a
game?
Yeah, I don't know if Winston's that kind of guy or not. That's a good
point. I believe that wholeheartedly. One of the things that I learned at the NFL owners meetings, chatting with some important folks behind the scenes.
Well, I mean, throwing down cocktails with billionaires.
Is that no longer is Jameis really looked at as a rookie. He's not. He's an extremely mature third year quarterback.
8,000 yards later, my friend.
And you know what? Between the maturity and the high IQ and really missing all but 11 or 20, 15 snaps, and the fact that he puts in the work and he had that incredible yardage mark, the most ever by a quarterback in his first two seasons, I think the comfort level is there to open it up. And Cutter said this before, say it again, in Atlanta, guy went to the doorstep of the Super Bowl with an offense that had the 29th ranked running game. And they spread it wide all the time. Tony Gonzalez, Roddy White, Julio Jones, Harry Douglas was in the mix.
The Bucs did it early in the season. It wasn't working. Winston was throwing too much because they didn't run the ball. However, Lee, they didn't have the weapons.
They didn't have
September. So it didn't work.
Yeah, well, they didn't have the weapons and they didn't respect the running game. Combination of the two.
Yeah, and you know,
Steve,
what?
He's throwing a Martino and die in September.
And it goes back to what Lee said about the pass blocking of McNichols. If you go for a wide, you need a guy who can really pass block. Well, this kid is apparently, the way Jason Light said it, is this guy was the number one or number two running back in the draft for pass blocking. And we know Jaquizz Rodgers is an excellent pass blocker, a seasoned third down back. In fact, he was the third down back pass blocking when the Falcons were going four wide and not using Michael Turner in that season. And Rodgers, in that season, was the leading rusher yards per carry on that 2012 Falcons team. So,
and led the Bucs in yards per
carry. A rookie. So Cutter knows a rookie can pass block and play in that. It'll be interesting to see if they change the offense, bottom line, change the offense a little bit.
There's going to be a lot of footballs in the air at Ray J this year. I mean, a lot of them.
Unprecedented for a Bucs team, right? I mean, who?
You know, and I don't want to be, Steve, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I was critical that Cutter was ordering up too many passes in September and it wasn't working. But when you got all these weapons, now you didn't have DeSean Jackson, you didn't have O.J. Howard, and you didn't know about Brait at that time. Everything's changed, Lee, everything.
I never would have dreamed a Bucs team would be going Eric Coryell, but it looks like they're on the cusp of doing just that.
Could I argue, Mr. Isbitz, could I, that no other team has better weapons around them just from a receiver standpoint, targets, than Jameis Winston? Could I make that argument?
Sure. If you look at the dynamic duo of Evans and Jackson, that's awfully tough to top. Let's just put it right.
Then you throw in
O.J. Howard.
Yeah,
you're talking two 2,000-yard receivers. Evans might be a top six receiver, five receiver in the game. Jackson is a top number one deep threat in the game. Come on.
Well, and you haven't mentioned the tight end, Steve. I mean, you got to have the whole package.
I have to be honest here. He didn't play yet. He hasn't played yet. I mean, I can't put all this rookie genius on O.J. Howard. I mean, you know, he's obviously a talent, and so is Brait.
And Humphreys is a pretty good slot receiver.
I don't think he's going to catch too many balls this year, Ira, but yeah, he's a pretty good slot receiver.
You know, and we haven't mentioned Godwin, who the Bucs like. The Bucs like the kid.
Yeah, let's go to Godwin, and you know what? In your next podcast, we'll dive a little bit deeper on the defensive side of the ball. We'll sort of divide it up that way. So third round comes, and what do the Bucs do? They're sitting there waiting, and everybody and their brother knows that Jason Light can't walk out of this draft without a legitimate receiver. Otherwise, JoeBucsFan.com would have gone on such a wild, lunatic rant on the weekend. It would have been insane because he would have left the team bare at receiver three consecutive years.
Well, you would have said if DeSean Jackson goes down, you're back to where you started. That would have been your argument. That's right.
Yeah, and it would have been needed a legit receiver, a legitimate guy who can catch the damn ball instead of these other Robert Harans and Kenny Bells and the list goes on and on and on. So they got him, Chris Godwin, legit receiver, speed threat, versatile, seems like a DeSean Jackson type. So he can plug right in there and learn, and he's a plug-and-play kind of guy. He can play some slot. Depth, legit depth, talent.
Yes, depth.
Unbelievable.
He's not going to catch 65 balls as a rookie, Lee, but legitimate depth, absolutely.
Well, I pestered Light after that pick. I pestered him. I said, can this guy return kicks? Because the kick return was miserable. And at first, he wasn't really biting. He was dancing my question. Then I point-blank asked him, I said, can this guy return kicks? Does this guy do you project this guy as being a returner at all? He goes, oh, we're going to give him the chance. You know, yeah. I really had the corner man paint him in the corner.
They don't have a lot of options at kick returner if you don't even try Godwin, Steve.
Exactly.
I mean, what, you got McNichols? You know, you might try McNichols, but
Humphreys.
Well, you know, last year it was absolutely abysmal. Absolutely abysmal.
Well, you figure out, the real story behind Lee and Light there is Light's on the phone with Ted Thompson looking to make a deal, and call waiting comes in. It's Lee is saying, hey, is Godwin going to return kicks or what, man? What the hell's going on here?
And then he puts Thompson on hold to talk to DeKemper.
Yeah, exactly.
That's well, to be clear, it was Light's post, his nightly, okay, we're wrapping up today's draft. But I got pestered him about that, and finally I got him to break down. You know, oh, yeah, we'll give him. But with Godwin, and Steve and I wrote this many times, There were three guys I in particular thought, okay, these three guys should be the Bucs target. And the reason why I said that, I didn't figure they were going to get a wide receiver in the first round. They needed wide receiver depth. And just by the guys that we knew the Bucs had interviewed at the combine and they were bringing in for interviews locally, they were looking for speed. And I know the Bucs loved the Dory, loved the Dory Jackson. What happened to Dory Jackson went right before the Bucs. John Robinson, Light's former right-hand man, picked him. So what I heard about Dory Jackson was spot on, that they, the Bucs were in love with him, and he got picked right before the Bucs. So they were, Godwin, the other two guys, one of these three guys, the Bucs needed to target. The Dory Jackson was one, and that's because I had intel that they loved him, number one. Number two was Curtis Samuel, Ohio State, a versatile guy. He could play defense, could play offense, could play wide receiver, could play running back. He's a hell of a returner. Number three was Godwin. They got Godwin. And matter of fact, Steve, 45 minutes before the pick, you had texted me or emailed me. I can't remember which. Steve communicated. I'm at $1. He's throwing down shots with you guys. And
I was home.
It was Friday night. That's right. And Steve said, I'll take Godwin. That's how sure we were that the Bucs were going to get Godwin. Steve said, I'll take Godwin.
Call there, Isbitz. That's your first of the year. Very well done. Now, Steve, I think we need to add, that Dirk Koetter, has said, I don't know if he said it publicly, but I believe he said it to Steve and I, that all this ballyhoo about kick return, you got to have a kick returner. Dirk Koetter's not losing sleep about it, Lee. The opportunities for kick returners are diminishing.
They are.
I wouldn't be surprised if the position doesn't exist in a couple of years.
That doesn't mean you ignore it.
No, it doesn't mean you ignore it. And if you can upgrade, you upgrade, Steve. But it's not something on Dirk Koetter's main radar. It's not.
It's not on his main radar. But to say it's not important or to brush it off like he did, it's the biggest pile of coach speak manure I've ever seen in years, really. Probably the biggest piece of crap I've seen out of Koetter's mouth. And that's a compliment because most coaches are full of baloney. Every other coach I've ever met, and you too, Ira, says everything's important. It's the details. It's the guys on fourth down. It's this. It's that. It's special teams. It's this. Come on. He's an offensive guy. A chance for a better kick return other than what we had last year, which was the worst in the history of the NFL, according to the Tampa Bay Times. You know, you want those extra yards. What is this, Koetter? Ah, well, it's not that many kick returns. BS, man. I mean, this is a guy who played on the same team with Devin Hester or was on the same team with it 2 years ago.
Yeah,
it's garbage.
To Steve's point, Lee, if garbage. You can return one or two kicks for 90 yards, that could win a ball game, and that could be the difference.
Hey, even 30 yards.
You think his pal Andy Reid, his good friend Andy Reid, believes that with Tyreek Hill back there? You think his pal Marvin Lewis with Pac-Man Jones believes that? Come on.
To Steve's point, somebody asked Bill Belichick, are kick returns irrelevant? I guarantee he won't say yes. I guarantee he'll say they are relevant. Case closed.
Yeah, and that brings me to one of the great, another irony in Bucs history, when Belichick picked up LeGarrette Blount. Okay, in 2013, he made Blount a kick returner. That was his kick returner in 2013, and the guy was great. And he was sitting on the Bucs bench when they're trotting out a bunch of garbage. The Shiano couldn't find a kick returner. So it's a comedy show, but it's fun. As we wrap up here, Ira.
You just called Koetter a BS artist.
No, just
there,
on that one point. On that one point.
Can I say real quick about Chris Godwin? People want to know about Chris Godwin. JoeBucsFan.com. I posted a video when he was drafted. It was a highlight tape of his Rose Bowl. I watched that Rose Bowl game. I DVR'd it when it first broadcast. I finally got around to watching it a couple weeks ago on a Sunday. I was blown away. I was like, this guy was going up against Dory Jackson. From what I could tell, Godwin won 2-1 the three times. But he was making plays right and left in that game. USC is no slouch. And that blew me away. Catching balls in traffic, behind him.
While DeKemper is DVRing the Rose Bowl, there was a special about the SI swimsuit edition, that night, and you can tell what Station Kaufman had on.
Nice call.
That's a little bit of a difference there, Steve.
Nice call.
that's a good one.
I'm going to ask you this question, Ira. Don't rush me. Stop rushing me, Ira. On kick return, is it fair to say that Dirk Koetter and Jason Light, mostly Jason Light, has done a terrible job assessing the ability of kick returners? We had Solomon Patton in here, and then the sea of guys who tried to replace him.
Huff.
Marcus Thigpen, who they got rid of, who then ran off to Buffalo and brought a ball back for a touchdown. Kalen Clay, who they drafted specifically for that purpose.
Didn't they try Smith last year?
They tried everybody.
And Ryan Smith is a guy, and we'll talk more in defense in the next podcast, but So get this, get the logic here, and this is what I'm asking your opinion. They draft Ryan Smith, and they all get together and say, he's a safety. He's a safety, this kid. And they were dead wrong. Okay, he's not a safety. And they also, in conjunction, said, he's our kick returner. He's the worst in the history of the NFL. They've already got this guy wrong twice. So, and now he's going to cornerback, and they say, well, he covered Mike Evans well in November in practice when we all know they don't try that hard necessarily, mid-season practice, that he's going to be a cornerback. I'm just worried about the misassessments here.
He could end up being the starting slot corner. Lee, am I wrong?
Ryan Smith?
I think he could be. I mean, you got Ajay Barima.
Who did okay? Okay,
yeah,
except for
the
Oakland
okay.
game.
I mean, Smith has a chance. Steve, we'll see. But I can't argue with your point. It's been a weakness since Light got here. They can't find a kick returner. Is it a top priority? No, but it's the kind of position that you don't notice until you break one and it helps you win a game.
Sure.
So, all right, Ari, your podcast, of course, thanks to Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, Edmore's Cadillac Brandon, for their proud support, as always. Folks listening, you're probably listening on the website or iTunes or podbean.com. You can subscribe on Podbean or on iTunes. It's where you get a nice alert. And you know what would be nice? Go into iTunes, leave Ira a comment. You can comment on the podcast. Of course, there's a couple of idiots in there who, say this is all stupid. You know, screw those guys. The more we can pile on with positive comments, it balances out the trash who dare to trash Ira. So we appreciate your support. And Ira, a parting one-liner?
Just again, I had a fantastic time last week. Steve leading the chants over there, making me drink down a shot.
I didn't lead any chants.
And then I dropped the cup. Did the mic drop? And
see, Steve overblew that. I thought the way he was describing, you're going like a Greek party. You're going to wing the shot glass to a fireplace.
These Buck fans are a lot of fun, and I hope more keep coming out next year. By any indication, Steve, we may need a bigger room next year, Steve.
Thinking, I've talked to Justin already about Bright House Networks Field, Spectrum Field there where the Phillies play. They got the big screens and plenty of room.
You mean where Bob Dylan and Rod Stewart have taken, stage over there? Are we going to fill these
Bob
shoes?
Bob Dylan played there?
Rod Stewart did. Rod Stewart
Is that right?
Did. Yeah.
You're not thinking Jack Russell, are
you? Got some hot legs over there, Steven.
All right,
on that note.
We're going down a bad, ugly sewer here. Ira, get out of here. We'll see you Thursday.